Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today, I'm joined with Ryan Marquardt. He is with Ryan's Astrology. I've had him on the podcast before. He's amazing. You guys love him. He's back. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm ecstatic to be back.
Oh, you know, we were talking before we started recording and I was like, uh-oh, this year doesn't look good for the U.S. Now, I will say this. I've heard other astrologers say, just because the U.S. is not having a good year doesn't mean the individual zodiac signs won't have a good year, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's very true. It completely depends on your entire birth chart. But I'd say this year, especially people, if you have a lot of fire or air sign energy in your chart, then you're probably going to really feel the energy, like one way or the other, like really good or maybe really challenging.
Oh, great, because I'm an air sign. But I did, I heard someone say this. She was an astrologer, and you can tell me what you think. He goes, what is astrology? And she said, astrology is the study of how the sky mirrors what happens on Earth, like your life's purpose. It's a map of your potential, your problems, a map of your growth. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, there's so many ways you can put it. I kind of say it's a map of like your consciousness or your cosmic thumbprint. Just depends on what you're using astrology for, really.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Why is it a little more challenging for air signs? And air signs are Gemini, Libra, and Virgo, right?
Aquarius.
Okay.
Close, though. A lot of people think that because Virgo is ruled by Mercury, which is the planet of the mind and communication. So it seems that way. Yeah.
So what does that mean? Like, we're going to feel it more? We're going to be more emotional about it? What do you think?
There are just massive, massive, massive shifts of energy from earth and water into fire and air. And that's like earth and water signs are the feminine signs, more feelings oriented. And then, you know, fire and air are more masculine. So it's a much more like extroverted, outward and logical energy for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like, it's historic stuff that's happening.
Oh yeah. Like some of this stuff hasn't happened.
Really big shifts.
Oh my God. Okay. So this will come out January 19th. So guys, when you're hearing this, we're going to start with the end of January and we're just going to go month by month, however Ryan wants to do this. So Ryan, you can take the mic.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, we kind of start January in the same way as 2025. There's not a whole lot of different stuff happening in January, to be honest.
Except for when somebody takes over Venezuela, you know, whatever.
February is where it really, like, I'd say kicks into gear. January, like, the big one is that Neptune is going to re-enter Aries on January 26th.
Okay.
So that's a big deal. It was in Aries for a little bit in 2025, but it barely got in there. We didn't get too much of a taste of it, really.
Okay.
I mean, really, now it's going to be firmly in Aries. And it hasn't been there in like 150 years. This is the first in a lifetime thing and we're never going to get it again. So big deal.
So what does that mean though?
So I actually have to contextualize this with the fact that Saturn is also moving into Aries.
Okay.
And both of them were there a little bit in 2025.
Okay.
And they got very close to each other, but they didn't form an exact conjunction, which is where two or more planets are exactly at the same spot in the zodiac.
Okay.
This year, Saturn will re-enter Aries on February 13th, shortly after Neptune does. And then they have a conjunction on February 20th, it's exact, but it got kind of close in August of 2025. So people can like kind of think back to that maybe, or even just like collectively, because these are slower outer planets that more so impact us collectively. Societally. So it will be pretty active the rest of the year. Like, this is probably the biggest thing. So yay, we really start the year in a really big way.
Okay.
This is huge. So Neptune is the planet of dreams and delusion and imagination. Mm. It's really pretty and lofty, but very much like a mirage. Like, we never get a crystal clear view of what Neptune's doing. It's like a fog in that way as well. So it can cause a lot of confusion. Like, you're just not seeing clearly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's the planet of imagination. So it's like, you know, we need to conceptualize anything before we can even create it in the real world, right?
Yeah.
Saturn, super different energy. Saturn is the planet of the real world. It's the planet that rules matter. You know, it's our skin and our bones even. Okay. So it's like the things that literally hold up the physical world. So they meet up every like 40-ish years. But this conjunction is major. Like, why this is so significant is because they're meeting at 0 degrees of Aries. That's the first degree of the entire zodiac.
Right.
Like, Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. So this is like a huge zodiacal reset completely. And when they come together, it's pretty much, if you can dream it, Neptune, then you can do it, Saturn, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Neither of them are really cozy in Aries, right? Though, to be honest. Saturn in Aries can be like a dictator energy.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Saturn's the rule maker and like the boss planet, and, you know, teaches hard lessons. It's not, you know, it's planet of karma. It used to be called the Grim Reaper, you know. Neptune, it's leaving Pisces, which is the sign that Neptune rules in modern astrology. It's leaving its home sign where it's been really happy since like 2012. And now it's entering this like fire sign that's just so different. Like Aries, it rules the head. It's headstrong and it knows exactly what it wants to do. It doesn't think or second guess. And Neptune's like flowy, you know, it's like the ocean. It rules the ocean. It doesn't know what to do in Aries. Saturn knows what to do in Aries, but they're just such different energies. And honestly, the whole year, kind of my theme, I don't really have one, to be frank. Like, normally I like come up with a nice, pretty package theme for the year, but this is like, we don't know.
It's like uncharted territory.
It's completely uncharted territory. I think the cool thing is my theme for 2025 was imagination and transformation, which I think is so interesting because I'm hearing so many astrologers right now use the word imagine, and we need to imagine differently and whatever. And I think last year, you know, and don't feel bad, listeners, if you're like not feeling like you were on this wavelength, like anybody can catch up, don't worry. But last year was like a point where literally our imagination was transforming. Like, what we are able to imagine was changing. And we needed to do that, and how we imagine changed a lot for a lot of people. This is going to be the year where the people in 2025 were trying to go with the flow of that and figure out what imagination looks like, and just creatively conceptualize anything. They're going to be much more ready this year. Like, the Saturn's going to come in and take that imagination and anchor it in the real world, come up with solutions and things to do. Other people will maybe still be like kind of reckoning with the fact that like they need to change their imagination, because Saturn is going to change the physical reality that we know. So when your reality changes, it's like a new platform for you to imagine on top of. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. You know, and I was going to also reiterate, I think regardless who's in the government right now, this stuff is just going to happen for us. Oh, yeah. So, you know, people are like, oh, no, we won't do this. And guys, we're kind of stuck in this pattern right now. And Ryan is trying to probably bring the positive part out. But this, I've heard this is probably reminiscent of a Civil War kind of thing, and or a Revolutionary War. No, we're not going to be at Gettysburg running after each other. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about maybe cyber war. You know, there. Hey, and there's probably some people that are sleeper cells. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a different energy. Like, you know, Aries, where these planets are at, it's the sign of war. It's ruled by Mars, traditionally, god of war. So, yeah, this like combative energy is going to be very present. Like, violence is possible. Yes. But you're also right, like, cyber war. Like, we just live in a different world now. So we have no idea what this will look like. You know, like, I've said this like a couple times, not on your podcast, but my favorite prediction last year was when these planets kind of got teased in Aries and they moved in there. When they moved in, it was with Venus, which Venus is a planet of aesthetics and colors and lines and shapes and all that. Long story short, I was like, I can't conceive of this. Like, I have no idea what to picture here, because it's just a whole brand new, you know, area. So I was really like struggling with predictive work last year, because I didn't know what to tell people in general. But I was like, all I could think of was like, it's like a new color comes online because of Venus was present.
Nice.
And then, you know, and like, but it's like, we can't imagine what a new color looks like, but it's like Saturn would make that real. But I was like, and Aries, you know, it rules the head, but also the eyes. But it doesn't just happen that way. Like, it's not like we all wake up one day and a new color is just present for everybody. Like, that's just not how things work. Yeah. I mean, who knows, I guess. But, you know, they were also making a connection, this is still going to be the case this year, to Pluto in Aquarius. And Pluto is a big planet of permanent change, and Aquarius rules technology and lasers. So get this, literally like the day after Venus and Neptune, those two especially like were conjunct. Yeah. The day after, it was announced that scientists, which is Aquarius, scientists shot laser beams into the eyeballs of different people, and they singled out one cone in your eye, and that's important because Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. Yes. All it knows is itself. It's singular. In the eye, which Aries rules, and they saw a new color. And they could only describe it as like a very like saturated kind of like teal or something, like a blue green peacock kind of color. But it's like, how do you even describe a new color? You know, so people were like, well, we already have teal or whatever.
Yeah.
But, it's, you know, like that's the only way they can possibly describe it. But go figure. Like, I was just using that as a totally random prediction, and then it happened. So bizarre. But it's like, that's, unless you saw it, like, you don't know what to even think of that. Yeah, like, I don't know what a new color would look like.
Well, that's how good you are, though. I mean, seriously. And I've been dabbling in tarot, been doing it about a year. I'm not good at it, okay? But I know enough. And I pulled the Sun and Moon card and the Two of Swords for this year, for the world, for all of us. Yeah. Now the Sun, you know, the new beginning, and we are in a 1 year numerology wise. And then Aries is the first zodiac sign. So it's, there's a lot of firsts here, that just like you're saying.
Oh yeah. It's like people aren't ready. Nobody. And, but that's the thing. It's like, that's such a scary feeling when it's uncharted territory. And, but it's like, there's nothing you do about that. And don't feel like there's nothing to be ready for. Nobody has a clue what's happening. Like, I'm so, not to get all political, but it's like, we're talking like a couple days after Venezuela, like that attack has happened, and Trump took the president. Like, even though there were like tensions rising there for a while now, like, I didn't, like, it just kind of happened out of nowhere. Like, it was so Aries energy with that. Like, it just decided to happen, and it kind of was very shocking to people. You know, like that's, nobody could prepare necessarily.
Well, and you know, you made a good point. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You made a good point because, you know, our president is a Gemini. And you're saying they're going to feel the U.S. chart probably more, possibly more than maybe others would. So maybe that's influencing him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, Gemini is a big deal in the United States chart as well. I mean, all the signs are
right.
But yeah, he's a Gemini, like I, which I reluctantly say because I'm a Gemini.
Yeah, well, I am too. So, right?
I mean, that's a big deal. Gemini is gonna like really also get a pretty big energy coming in this year. Yeah, so I don't, like, there's a lot to say about this one. I would just say, like, the big thing is, like, definitely don't catastrophize. That is very common.
Exactly.
With Saturn and Neptune together, like, it kind of can create a mass panic effect,
right.
Especially in Aries. It's just like, you just kind of feel like a jolt in you with that. A good thing with this, because everything's got a positive, you know, to it as well. There's like, I can go the extreme catastrophe route or the like highest vibration route. And, it, you know, usually we're going to be in a spectrum in all sorts of ways that this will show up. But I think the kind of nicest thing to focus on, if you want to, is that it will wash away a lot of hardships for people. Neptune has a good dissolving effect, and Saturn, you think of it like ocean crashing against the rocks on a shore.
Yeah.
Saturn rules rocks, Neptune is water. And so it's literally like kind of smoothing out rough edges. And so I think a lot of people, where they've been hard on themselves, like unnecessarily so, or like you've learned a lesson, but you kind of keep like putting yourself back in it, like as if you need to learn it, or you thinking you haven't fully learned it. Neptune's going to ease a lot of that and soften a lot of people's rough edges, which is going to be a really nice feeling.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so since we kind of don't really know what the next move is with the United States, because they really do keep shocking us, and I think that's just what you said, the energy of it. Maybe we should just focus on the big things. I know there's something around July, early July. There's something in March. Would that be easier to do?
Oh, there's, I mean, yeah, there's so much going on. There are only like a you know, handful of like biggies. Like I have a whole list of dates that like literally cover every month. I mean, I'm not specifically for this. I just mean like there are a lot of things going on this year, but like as far as big stuff, like kicks off pretty strong starting February with that. We're starting to feel it already though, clearly.
Yeah.
And then February 3rd, well, that one I'm not even going to say, I won't even say that. I'll give the dates for the eclipses just because people like to know when eclipses are happening. Yes. I won't, normally I would spend a lot of time on eclipses, but we're in a funky eclipse cycle.
I know.
Yeah. They normally straddle one axis. Like technically right now it should be Pisces and Virgo. And then they're going to move in July. Technically they should move to Aquarius and Leo, but we're kind of like, it'll bounce back and forth for a little bit. We're just in a funky space. So I don't want to even like get into what that means, but the dates of this are February 17th is the first one. Okay. It's in Aquarius. And then March 3rd is the second one. That's in Virgo.
Okay.
So there's, we get a pair of them every 6 months. So that's the first pair. And then the second pair is going to be August 12th. In Leo, and then August 27th in Pisces.
Okay.
Just so everybody has those. So that's happening in February as well. There's a lot going on. For two other just dates, like to throw them out there for like really, really good dates that I genuinely freaking love, February 22nd and June 9th.
Nice.
These are Venus and Jupiter playing really nicely together, especially February 22nd. If you have anything to launch, you want to make a big announcement, you want to like ask for a raise, like whatever it is that you want to benefit you, these two dates are just like, oh, chef's kiss. So beautiful.
Okay.
February 22nd is like a very lucky day, technically, that like we wouldn't even get once every 12 years, basically.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's like, you know, not to say like, oh, February 22nd comes and goes, and you're like, I didn't feel any luck at all. That doesn't really matter. Like, this is like, say you're looking for a job. I'd say submit a resume right around February 22nd because you're ensuring that that act you take kind of is infused with this very, very lucky energy and it will kind of give you a greater chance, you know, like all of these transits are kind of, you can think of them like seeds. Like sometimes they show up immediately, like the day of, but sometimes it's more like you put the intention out there and then it grows. Right.
Right.
But and those two dates, so important. In April, Uranus is going to enter, what is the date exactly? April 25th.
Okay.
Uranus will re-enter Gemini. It entered Gemini for a very little bit last year. We really didn't get much of a taste of that at all. But now it's going to re-enter Gemini. This is a big, big, big deal. It'll be there for like the next like 8 years. It's like 2033, I think.
Wow.
But this is way better because it's coming out of Taurus, where it used to be. And Taurus is the sign that hates change the most. It's just like not comfy with it. Uranus is a planet of sudden change and disruptions. It rules like earthquakes and volcanoes, like super jarring, sudden change. But entering Gemini, Gemini is the first sign of change. So it's much more agile than Taurus, and it can roll with Uranus. Uranus hasn't been here for 80-something years, like 83-ish, I think. It's a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's also like big because when it enters Gemini, it's going to make a very harmonious connection to Pluto and Aquarius.
Okay.
This is important because I know I'm getting slightly technical. Just go with me.
Sure.
Uranus is entering a new sign in, you know, end of April, but that is a big deal. And it's going to make a harmonious connection to Pluto. Saturn and Neptune will have entered Aries in a brand new sign, both of them. And they're making this very harmonious connection to Pluto as well.
Okay.
Pluto is also at the beginning of Aquarius. So all of these outer planets, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, are in the beginning stages of brand new signs. And they're all flowing very neatly together. Like they basically are, it's called a mini grand trine.
Yeah.
But when planets oppose this kind of triangle that's happening, it'll make what's called a kite formation. This is so exciting.
Yeah.
And because they're big outer planets, like these energies are going to last, like it'll be especially potent in 2026, 2027, but they're going to go until like 2030, really. Like, this is what makes me excited and hopeful. And it's like so bizarre to say that in a way, because it's like, well, look at the state of the world right now. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean support's coming in? But like, that's the case. Like, you know, like, I mean, obviously the last like 5 or 6 years have been insane. Like we've had historic astrology, but it's been COVID level astrology, where it's like total destruction. This is more historic astrology coming in, and it isn't always like this. Like, we're genuinely just living in historic times, but this is at least like a total shift, and it's positive finally. Like, it's helpful. So I don't know, I'm like seeing where we're gonna get a lot of support coming in, especially once the end of April hits.
We're gonna
really start feeling that for the rest of the year, and I mean for years.
Well, that's good, because you know, people are like, why is the United States just going through so much turmoil right now? And I know that, is it a Pluto thing where every 250 years or something, and we just weren't alive then, and that's just what happens, right?
Yeah, we just had, the United States just had its Pluto return, meaning every 250 years, 2026, the 250th year anniversary of America. We're a very young country, so we haven't gone through this before. The Pluto return is when regimes fall, you know, the Roman Empire fell. Like, it's a big deal for nations. Anything that could live 250 years or 500, sometimes it's like on the second Pluto return, you know. But we're kind of feeling that right now. Like, everything about America is in this destruction mode. Pluto, though, doesn't destroy for no reason. It destroys to create.
Oh.
So, like, you know, it has to level off a lot of stuff here. But, like, we're seeing, it's across the board. Like, our institutions of all kinds are just crumbling. And it's like, unfortunately, I think it's like something's got to give a little bit here.
Yeah.
And, you know, there, things might go a little even more south on a collective level before things actually change. Unfortunately, that's just like kind of the way people work and collectives work. It's like something bad has to happen in order for something new to come in. And, you know, you can't create a solution if there isn't a problem.
Right. Let me ask you this. Now, have you looked at, and I'm kind of skipping ahead a little bit, for the midterms, have you looked at the astrology for that, and maybe that it might change what we have now, or maybe lame duck something that we have now so that we have a little bit more power, not just one-sided?
Technically, no. Like, I could tell you generally what's going on astrologically at that point, but midterms really depend. There's so many charts to look at, like who are the candidates, state charts. Like, I can look at America's chart, but it just depends. The one big thing, I mean, that will be active in midterms is the Venus is retrograde, which I don't love. Like, that's a big one people like to know about. It really impacts people. So October 3rd until November 14th, Venus is retrograde. It starts its retrograde in Scorpio, and then it kind of retrogrades back to Libra throughout that time frame. This is big because Venus has to do with people, so this could equate to midterms, like thinking that there's going to be a lot of people showing up, and then the Venus retrograde could correlate to like a lot of people, you know, not showing up, and then midterms, I don't know, they're being upsets or something, you know.
Right.
But also shady dealings, because it turns retrograde in Scorpio, which is the sign of like behind closed door meetings. It's the sign of secrecy. We have no idea what's going on there.
Okay.
So there could be, people kind of negotiating, which is Venus, out of sight, and it could be screwing some stuff up. I don't like conspiracy stuff like too much. Be level-headed about it, but this would be like, you know, behind the scenes, like if there's some weird stuff going on, like there could be election tampering.
We all kind of, you know, wonder, and I think there has been in the past too, and they've kind of proven that, but you know, what do you do? I mean, we're all gonna have to go through this. So I think, okay, so you were on April. Do you want to go through May, June, July-ish time?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to not even say anything about May. That's good stuff. I'd say May 22nd. It's kind of a very exciting day, but just also no sudden decisions. Don't be too spontaneous. Try to be like thought out, but you can do something like really eccentric. I would just, you know, try to plan as much as you can at that point. But like very big surprises could come up for you, you know, and it's like, it is ephemeral. I want to say that, I guess. So like you want to grab an opportunity when it presents itself right around May 22nd, but, you know, still try to weigh your options as much as you can to make a smart move. You know, don't just immediately say yes to something.
Exactly.
And then June is a big one. So I already said June 9th. That's a really good one.
Okay.
And then the end of June, Jupiter enters Leo on June 30th. Okay. This is a big deal. Jupiter is in a sign for a year at a time. So it's been in Cancer for a year leading up to June 30th, but then it'll, you know, June 30th until like July something of 2027. It'll be Leo, super bold, expressive energy. Like Jupiter in Cancer right now is all about being cozy. Jupiter loves Cancer. It's his favorite sign to be in. So it's like, I don't know, people like in their sweatpants on their couch, watching their favorite movie, eating mac and cheese. Like you just feel, you want to feel cozy.
Right.
Probably especially because so much feels like it's going on out in the world right now. So like people are kind of clinging to like the familiar as much as they can, which is a good healthy thing, and you know, moderation, I guess, everything in moderation with Jupiter. It's the biggest planet that can exaggerate. But in Leo, it's like, all right, I'm done hiding at home. Like I'm gonna move out into the world. And it's going to make an opposition to Pluto in Aquarius at this point. So this is like a real serious like, I am moving out into the world and like something has to change here. I do feel like this is a pivotal, like breaking point year for collectively. It's just interesting energy. Like again, you know, all we can ever do is control ourselves, but I really do think that especially the first half of the year, like that's really the thing is like, you know, get clear with yourself, like imagine, try to like do things you want to do, you know, be the change yourself. But then the second half of the year and for a while after that, the collective kind of coalesces around something. And that's where I think things are going to be really supportive. And maybe it's mutual aid. Like the teaser of it, I feel like this year was, you know, you're on TikTok. Like, did you see all the angel trees posts this year? I've never seen more people like donating for kids in need. Like it's amazing. And so this idea of mutual aid and mutual support and like all the GoFundMes that are happening, like it's just amazing. Even people are getting their debt wiped out because they'll post something and they're like, if 6,000 people see this and donate $1 to me, I'll be debt free or whatever.
You know? Yeah.
That type of thing is amazing because like, of course I can donate $1. I can't give you $6,000 right now, but like I can give you $1.
Yeah,
and if a lot of people just choose to do these little things, then a big changes can happen. I think that that's where the second half of the year is going, basically, starting June 30th.
And I also think just the energy of people giving, the energy of good intention, the energy of people just being kind, you know, if nothing else, it changes your perspective. Because guys, there are other astrologers, two other astrologers I know that are writing books about 2026. That's how crazy it is. And I don't think it's going to get that much better for just a little while. Maybe the aliens will come and help us. You know, I'm ready for any alien to just drop in my 35 acres, maybe pull me up, do some examination, whatever you need to do to get me out of here.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I am so right with you on that.
Because, you know, it's just one of those things where we do have free will, guys, and we can decide. Maybe don't watch the news for a few days. Yes, stay abreast of what's going on. But you know, when I was younger and we were going into Iraq in 91, and I was pretty young then, I mean, I had no idea what was going on. And it was just horrible turmoil, terrible. And we were invading a country. You know what I mean? So, and I didn't really, it didn't really affect me. And that's very privileged to say, but it's just, I was clueless. And sometimes ignorance is bliss. Okay.
Totally. And honestly, I would say that that is great advice, especially in the first half of the year, just because it's like really the best thing you can do. I mean, always, I know, but astrologically, until the end of June is like, focus on you, personal development, do you and make you as great as possible in the first half of this year.
Right.
The second half of the year is where your greatness is going to blend with other people's. And like, we're only going to be a productive collective if we're all individually productive.
Because, you know, if you get a little freaked out by the things happening, I don't care what party you like or voted for or whatever. It's crazy. And then I just decide, you know what? I control myself. I can control how I feel. I can control how I react to everything. And I can just go outside, hug a tree, and just talk to a gnome or two. Because I'm having somebody come on about the gnomes in my property because she found one in one of my pictures. And I'm like, I had no idea. I believe in all that. All the fae. You know, listen, they're all helping us. And maybe, like I said, the aliens will stop us from maybe hitting the nuclear button. Okay.
No, totally. No, 100%. And even like that's also this Neptune-Saturn conjunction. That's the biggest thing all year at the start of the year. I mean, Neptune rules anything like kind of quote unquote imaginary or the unseen in that way. Like any spiritual, an angel, like, you know, a fae, like that's all Neptune. But then Saturn's right there with it materializing this, nice, this metaphysical, spiritual energy, anchoring it in the real world. So yeah, like people, spiritual concepts of any kind can just become incredibly real and tangible for you this year.
Wow. Okay. That's good to know, because I think when I gave you my chart, because Mariah has my chart, I think I gave you my wrong birth time. I don't know. Maybe I didn't.
No way.
Well, I don't, you don't have to worry about
it,
but because I, if I gave you the wrong time, it was my daughter's time and not my freaking time.
Okay. That's okay. You're, this is like, I think you're going to have a spiritual year. Jupiter, especially the second half of the year, I think you're going to feel much more like spiritually connected to things.
Oh,
like this kind of like energy of, not saying like, you know, don't join a cause or something, but like this kind of second half of the year energy that I'm talking about, where it feels like mutual aid is really coming together and like collectively we're coming up with our own like kind of people first solutions or something.
Yeah.
That isn't as like strong for you in your chart. That's why like everybody's chart kind of matters. You're doing your own thing. It's more like you're like the type like anchoring a grid, you know,
oh, good.
For
okay.
people
yeah.
versus like needing to be like super out and loud and present. Or
oh,
whatever.
I don't need any of that. Listen, I could be home for weeks and I don't have to go. I mean, yes, I go places, but I don't care. I want to be home. I mean, I'm at that point.
Yeah. I think that honestly, it looks really good for you because your fire signs are in your, where like a lot of this big energy is shifting,
oh,
are
good.
In your water houses, which are more quiet, serene
okay,
houses,
good.
Like, yeah, more private, personal life stuff.
Listen, we moved out to our country house a couple of years ago and we live here full time now. And I think you know, or you might have heard me talking about doing it. And I am so much happier here. Because I can hide away. I'm like off the, not off the grid, but like we're in a small town, 8 miles north of the small town, off a farm market road, on a dirt road, gravel road, that's a dead end. Okay? So.
No, I love it. Like, this is like the funniest thing that you're saying this, because weirdly, I've made inroads in this world of real estate in this last year, especially.
Yeah.
And it's been really cool. And this is like, I'm just relating it to astrology, and especially like where I'm like, it's hard to conceptualize like where things are going and like how is support coming in. I am seeing it, and it's weirdly through the world of real estate.
Yes.
And I know this is like crazy. I won't go into this crazy huge tangent about it, but it really does matter. And like you're giving the epitome of why this matters.
Yes.
Is, I've done so much research now on this. Like, it's just strange, like how I'm integrating astrology into the world of real estate. Like, you'd be shocked at the fact that these people are kind of into astrology.
Oh,
they're like big, for sure. Big deals. And like your neighborhood can literally make you sick. I'm maybe getting the stat wrong here, but there's this one, I think a nonprofit called Global Wellness Institute that has put out a study recently that said like 80% of our wellness and of all realms of wellness, physical, financial, emotional, spiritual, all of it, 80% is dictated by your physical environment. And that's like the home you live in specifically, but also the community, neighborhood that you live in. And we live currently in a very isolated way in these like grid streets, like suburban sprawl, you know, put us in this weird space. And a lot of the real estate developers that I am now like talking to are creating new communities and neighborhoods and towns in some instances that are just being planned completely differently to encourage spontaneous interactions and like the 10-minute town concept, or where like you can get all of your basic needs within a quarter mile distance so you can walk instead of like have to drive a car.
Nice.
And like they're putting, you know, garages in the back of the home instead of the front, so people are like interacting in their front porch and their front yard more. Like, I know this all sounds kind of dumb on the surface, but your physical environment has this crazy impact on you personally, but also how we are interacting with each other. And, you know, there's so much conversation right now about the lack of third spaces, that people don't have anywhere to go, where they don't have to pay anything. We all really only have like libraries and like some parks. So we're trying to create more physical spaces for people to exist in again, rather than just being like, go to work, go home, go to work, go home, you know?
Exactly.
It will dramatically change culture. We're going to start seeing like, this stuff takes many years, you know, like one developer I know, like is on their 20th year, I think, and they're finally this year about to have a grand opening.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, like these things take so long. So these developers have had such foresight, and I know that like real estate seems like a pretty like shady field. And like, yes, historically it has been. The ones I'm talking to are the most conscious people I've ever met in my life. And wow, they are loaded, but they're willingly going into debt because of how much they know this needs to change. They're like, our societies are screwed up. We need to literally build a new world. And they're the ones to do it. Yes. And they're not making money. Like, maybe way down the line, sure. But like, that's not the case. Even like, I know this is also random, but this is like a very good analogy for the energy at play and where the support's coming in. Mm-hmm. So like, contextualize it in your own life. But like in the real estate world, they measure these like old metrics. You know, it's like, this neighborhood has X amount of rooftops and here's the average price per square foot, right?
Yeah.
That's measurable, just like easy. And that's why that's been our metrics and why capitalism kind of sucks is like, it's just kind of obvious metrics. These new developers are creating things like happiness indexes, and they're measuring life per square foot, you know,
right,
like the amount of smiles that occur on a sidewalk in any given day. Right. I know that's so insane, and it's like kind of difficult to measure, to be honest, but they're like creating how to measure this stuff, because like that's what matters. Like, how do you measure these intangible moments, or like how many spontaneous meetups happen at a park in a month?
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing that this is happening, and this is like where we need to go. And like, finally, like, these are the people that have been imagining, and now 2026 is where like a lot of these communities are going to start opening, and it's not slowing down. You can look up missing middle housing. This is like the kind of baseline of where our towns and communities are going. Even existing communities, like, they're going to change, but it's where like a mansion exists next to like a duplex, next to like a big apartment complex, next to a coffee shop with a single apartment above it, like where we are not going to separate people in socioeconomic classes anymore, because that's why so much of this discord between us is happening, because we're putting people with money behind gated communities and like throwing everybody who doesn't have money in like a nasty part of town in a neighborhood that literally can make you sick, like literally. So it's amazing where things are going to go, and it will just dramatically change like our empathy with one another, the way we relate to people. And that's like, it's just where the astrology is going, because the astrology really is moving in this way of like, we're all our own individual amazing people, and we all have autonomy, and we do what we need to do for ourselves, but we're definitely coming together as a people, you know, where like an institution, a government, it's needed in certain cases, but like, we have say, and that's definitely coming forward in the second half of the year.
Exactly. No, and I know you can't stay long, so I'm just going to tell you this. You know, this is the free will, guys, of people doing something, using the energy, the astrology of it, maybe not even realizing they are, and they're doing something positive out of it, as opposed to continuously keeping on the cycle of chaos and toxic energy and toxicness, that we don't have to do this anymore. And you can control it, you know? So the rest of the year, Ryan, like from, let's say, August to December, how is that looking?
I am loving it, because all this new energy is like fully in place now. In general, I really like it. I think, you know, we're probably going to see maybe big announcements happening at the very end of August. August 31st technically is the exact date, but it's going to have like a couple weeks before, a couple weeks after.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal. The Venus retrograde is maybe going to be a little problematic. Again, that's October 3rd through November 14th. It really depends on how it plays out in your chart, but Venus retrogrades can be really, like, people break up in them, but then I never really recommend it unless something really bad is happening, you know, like, you know, domestic abuse situation, like, obviously get out of the relationship. But if you're like kind of just starting to get uncertain about your partner at that point or something, try to see if you can get through it, because people will break up in a Venus retrograde, and then after the retrograde often really regret it, and then they got to get back together, but then it's like a stain on the relationship, or they never get back together, but it's always this like big regret, you know. I'm a big fan of Venus retrogrades, because I was born in a Venus retrograde, of course, but like, so it's interesting to me, and I've had these really crazy moments, like the most important people in my life have come back in a Venus retrograde for me. So it can be really impactful if anybody from your past comes back between October 3rd and November 14th, please entertain it. Again, unless they were like a really, truly terrible person.
Yes.
I even had an ex that like genuinely like emotionally abused me. I entertained him coming back into my life, and I didn't want to. And long freaking story short, he had an apology for me. We didn't get back together. It wasn't a sign of that. It was just he had a very serious apology for me. And it kind of became apparent to me that his life was kind of in shambles. And I walked away being like, God, I'm really glad I'm not with him anymore. You know what I mean?
You played out that I don't have any, I can walk away without regret. You played that out for yourself.
Yes. Okay. I love it. Yeah. And I'm trying to think if there's any other, like, there's so many things. I think the one thing is, like, you know, try to, you know, save money. Yes. Obviously, like, the state of the world is crazy. And, like, most of us are not, like, in the 1% or whatever. Right. Even if you're, like, well off, like, I think you're seeing how easily basic needs can become a problem. Like, yes. And it just, it happens. Like, the 2008 collapse taught us that, you know, so many successful people lost it all, right? That can happen at any point in time to anybody. So I think just, like, bolstering yourself the first half of the year is important. Not that the second half becomes this free-for-all, but Chiron, which is a planetoid, it's a wound, it's a vulnerability, it can cause, like, just trouble. It's moving into Taurus, finally. Like, it's been in Aries for a while. I won't even explain that, but Taurus, it moves in June 19th, and it'll be there until September 17th. We're only getting a teaser of it. In 2027, it'll firmly be in there for a while. But pay attention to June 19th through September 17th, because I think if Taurus is the sign of basic needs, literally, do you have your bills paid? It's food and water. Yeah. So, like, we may start seeing shortages and more people feeling a crunch. However, if you're preparing in advance, or if you're somebody who's already been living paycheck to paycheck, this is not going to bug you. Like, you're already familiar. I think this is a prediction I have, is that that time period will be a point where some people who have a lot lose it, you know, and they're the people in power are feeling a crunch that they haven't felt before. And I think that that's going to be a really pivotal breaking point for big things to change finally structurally, because they'll still maybe have, like, a job, but they'll have lost, like, their investments or something. And they're going to be like, uh-oh, like, now that I'm impacted, something needs to change.
Exactly. You know? And sometimes that has to happen before things can change anyway, because once it starts impacting even people, regardless of your status in life, when it starts affecting the correct people that will actually change it, guys, it's not a bad thing. And listen, like I just said, we all have free will. We can decide to turn the TV off and just go outside and touch grass and hug a tree, like I do a lot. So that's what you do. Now, Ryan, you're such a good astrologer, and I know we're just scratching the surface here, but tell my listeners where they can find you, how to get hold of you, if they want a reading from you, all of it.
Yeah, ryansastrology.com is where you can book a reading with me. I've scaled back some of my hours and, like, types of readings that I do. I was just overextending myself, but now I'm also doing, just email me for this. You can get in touch with me through my website. Everything you need to know is on my website. But this past year has been really interesting with kind of this corporate work that I'm doing. And I'm loving it. Like,
I'm so glad.
Meeting with teams and companies and, like, showing them the astrology and helping them plan based off of that. It's actually been, like, so fascinating to watch these people that you would never think are into anything like this be, like, all about it.
It's, well, it's like, so accurate. That's the thing. That's why I always have astrologers on. The Zodiac, I'm telling you, astrology, it's so freaking accurate. It's insane.
Yeah. And I think people who just maybe, I don't know, aren't traditionally into it are.
Yes.
It's interesting to watch them now start gravitating towards some of the stuff, which I think just needs to happen. It's opening them up a little bit more spiritually and emotionally. And I think that's going to be for the benefit of everybody.
Right. So guys, I'm going to add all of Ryan's information in the show notes. And Ryan, as usual, you're amazing and I love you. And we'll talk again soon.
You're the best. Thank you so much.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.